श्रूयतां श्रूयतां नित्यं गीयतां गीयतां मुधा चिन्त्यतां चिन्त्यतां भक्तास् चैतन्यचरितामृतम्। O devotees, may the transcendental life and characteristics of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu always be heard, chanted, and meditated upon with great happiness. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Dayamay Jaya Jaya Nityananda Kripa Sindhu Jai Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Dayamay Jaya Jaya Nityananda Kripa Sindhu Jai Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda The final pastimes of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Are very deep and mysterious. During the final 12 years of Lord Chaitanya's manifested Leela in this world, he immersed himself in deeply tasting the transcendental mellows of Sri Radharani's divine emotions of her love for Krishna. We know that Srimati Radharani is the eternal pleasure potency of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. She is the source of all love and devotion. Therefore, the Gaudiya Vaishnavas are eternally longing to become the servant of the servant of the servant of Srimati Radharani. And in this way, perfect our lives in the holy land of Vrindavan. This is the singular consciousness of all living entities. Therefore, Srimati Radharani is also known as Vrindavan Eshwari. Krishna is Madan Mohan. He attracts even the mind of Cupid or Kamadev. Kamadev is keeping all conditioned souls infatuated by the desire for material enjoyment within creation. But when we hear and chant the glories of Lord Krishna, which are all attractive, our hearts are stolen away from the prison camp of Kamadev and brought to his eternal spiritual abode of love and happiness. However, Sri Radharani is known as Madan Mohan Mohini because the power of her love, her ecstatic devotional service, not only attracts but eternally conquers the mind of Lord Sri Krishna. Thus, because bhakti is the energy of Sri Radharani, Krishna is bhakta vatsal. Anyone who takes shelter of becoming the servant of the servant of the love of Sri Radharani, Krishna becomes conquered by that love. Krishna is conquered by his devotees because he perceives the unlimited love of his pleasure potency coming even in a part and parcel form through the living entity. Krishna is conquered even by that. This is a great mystery. If Krishna is conquered by his devotee who has exhibited just a tiny particle of a drop or a spark of the infinite source of all love, Srimati Radharani, how he is conquered by the very reservoir of all devotion. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was Krishna who came into this world to understand a mystery that he could not understand. What is the nature of Sri Radharani's love? What is the happiness she derives by that love? And what is it in me that brings her such ecstatic emotion? Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to this world to experience those three great mysteries. He is Krishna tasting the sweetness of Sri Radha's love. And to distribute that love to everyone who will simply accept with faith. During Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's final pastimes in this world, he wanted to show the existence, what is the nature of that love. During the day, he would sometimes be preoccupied with chanting, dancing, and seeing Jagannath. But in the nights, he demonstrated his own most personal and confidential pastimes. Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami explains, no one can properly understand these pastimes. But if someone hears them with faith and devotion, just by hearing, our hearts become completely purified and we develop an attraction for real devotional service. We cannot understand even a clue of the meaning of these pastimes, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami explains, unless we gain the favor of the Lord. And there is only one way of achieving that favor, and that is by becoming the servant of the servant of the servant of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. There is no other means. During Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Leela in Jagannath Puri, Swarup Damodar Goswami was his personal secretary, and Raghunath Das Goswami was the assistant of Sri Swarup Damodar Goswami. These two great personalities were practically with Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu throughout the day and throughout the night, every single day, year after year after year. Therefore, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami explains, they are the real authorities of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Antyalila. He explains that other biographers and commentators, they were writing from a very great distance away. But these two great personalities were right with the Lord day and night. Srila Swarup Damodar Goswami, he wrote a notebook in which he briefly explained every day the pastimes that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would perform. And under his divine direction, Srila Raghunath Das Goswami had written very, very elaborate notebook describing the transcendental pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, moment by moment, hour by hour, day by day, week by week, year by year. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami explains how unlimitedly valuable are these notebooks. But Srila Prabhupada explains, by the divine will of the Lord and the misfortune of all living beings, these notebooks have been lost. However, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami heard from the very lotus mouth of Raghunath Das Goswami as he would read and comment from these notebooks on the banks of Sri Radha Kund. And Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami explains in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, the only thing that he has written is what he has directly heard from Sri Raghunath Das Goswami and what he has received from the writings of Swarup Damodar Goswami. Therefore, Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita is most authorized, factual, direct information of the life and teachings of Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu. Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, before attempting to write Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, first takes the dust of the feet of all the Vaishnavas and worships them. Then he takes the dust of the feet and worships both his instructing spiritual masters and his initiating spiritual master. Then he takes the dust of the lotus feet of all the personal associates of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, led by the Pancha Tattva, Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasati Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. He worships Advaita Charya and then Nityananda Prabhu, by whose order he came to Vrindavan and achieved the shelter of Sri Rupa Goswami and Raghunath Das Goswami. Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, in an ocean of transcendental humility, worships the lotus feet of every one of the readers of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, whether they be new neophytes or whether they be exalted paramhamsas. He worships the feet of all Vaishnavas and is especially indebted to those who have accepted his offering to the Lord by hearing the glorious pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. One day, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in the Gambhira, which was his private room in the house of the great devotee Kashi Mishra, he took rest. During this daytime rest, he had a dream. In the dream, he saw Krishna performing his Ras Lila with Sri Radharani and gopis. Krishna was standing in his beautiful threefold bending form, Tribhanga Swarup, playing upon his celebrated flute. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was thinking, now I am in Vrindavan, and here is my worshipable Lord Krishna playing his flute. Because Lord Chaitanya would perform so many duties during the day, his servant Govinda woke him up. Then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, after waking, he took his bath in the sea and went into the temple of Jagannath to see the beautiful forms
of Shri Balaram, Subhadra, and Jagannath Swami.
While he was standing just behind the Garuda Stamba, in the Jagamohan or the Kirtan Hall before Lord Jagannath, there was literally hundreds and thousands of people just crowding in all directions to see the beautiful form of Jagannath. At that time, a woman from Orissa was so eager to see the beautiful form of Jagannath, she began to climb the Garuda Stamba. She climbed so high that in order to maintain her position, she put her feet on Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's shoulder. Seeing this, Govinda chastised the woman and told her to come down. Lord Chaitanya became very disturbed that Govinda chastised this woman. And he said to his servant, "O uncivilized man, do not forbid this woman to climb the Garuda Stamba. Let her see Lord Jagannath to her full satisfaction." When the woman came down, she came to her senses out of her transcendental ecstasy, and she realized what she had done. She climbed down from Lord Chaitanya's shoulder, and she fell at his lotus feet, begging his forgiveness. Seeing the woman's eagerness, Lord Chaitanya said to her, "Lord Jagannath has not bestowed so much eagerness upon me. She has fully absorbed her body, mind, and life in Lord Jagannath. Therefore, she was unaware that she was putting her foot on my shoulder. Alas, how fortunate this woman is. I pray at her feet that she favor me with her eagerness to see Lord Jagannath." Just previous to this, Lord Chaitanya was seeing Jagannath in the same way he was seeing Krishna in his dream. He was standing before him in his threefold bending form and playing his flute. But because this Orissan woman climbed upon his shoulder, she brought him back to an external form of consciousness. And again he was seeing the beautiful forms of Jagannath, Balaram, and Subhadra. He began to think, "Now I have come to Kurukshetra. Why have I come to Kurukshetra? I want to return to Vrindavan and see the Lord as Shyam Sundar. I am not pleased to see him as a great prince." Then Lord Chaitanya returned home in these feelings of ecstatic separation, the same feelings that Sri Radharani and Gopis were experienced when they saw Krishna in Kurukshetra, longing to bring him to Vrindavan. Lord Chaitanya sat in his courtyard and tears filled his eyes. He began drawing curved lines with his fingernails. Then the night came, and he was holding with his arms Ramananda Rai and Swarup Damodar's necks, and he was saying, "Where is Krishna? Where is Vrindavanath? I saw him, but then he left me." So they began to sing beautiful, beautiful songs and recite various verses from the holy scriptures. This went on for half the night. And then they laid Lord Chaitanya down, and they left his room and locked the doors and took rest. Meanwhile, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did not rest at all. Throughout the entire night, he was very, very loudly chanting the holy names of God.
Krishna, 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 Krishna.
And then Swarup Damodar Goswami and Govinda, who were sleeping near the door, they didn't hear him chanting anymore. So they lit a lantern and they opened the doors and they looked inside. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was gone. Where has he gone? There was no way for him to escape. Somehow or other, he left. They lit lamps and began searching everywhere for Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And there they found him at the Singhadwaram, at the main gate of Lord Jagannath's temple. When they saw him, at first they were full of joy, but then when they looked closer, they became filled with sorrow. His body had elongated to 5 to 6 cubits. His arms and legs were 3 to 4 cubits. And what happened is his whole body was elongated and tears were flowing from his eyes and his hairs were standing on end. And it is explained that each of his joints was disconnected from the other half of the joint. From his arms, legs, and his neck, there was 6 inches of flesh just hanging between each of his joints. Foam was coming out of his mouth. When the devotees saw Lord Chaitanya like this, they went close to his ear and loudly began to chant Krishna's holy name. For a long time they chanted. And then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, his limbs came back together and he came into a half-external consciousness. And all of a sudden he stood up and loudly cried out, Hari Om! He began to look around in all directions. He asked his devotees, Where am I? Where have you taken me? I heard Lord Krishna's flute, and I went to find, and I entered into Vrindavan, and there I saw Krishna having his divine pastimes with gopis, and when I went close to Krishna, he disappeared. Just like a flash of lightning appears and disappears. And then, as I was searching for him everywhere, I heard this great tumultuous sound of your chanting. Why have you taken me out of Vrindavan and brought me back to this place? Just at that time, the conch shell blew for the morning darshan of Jagannath. So Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his associates went to have the darshan of Jagannath after bathing in the sea. On another occasion, Lord Chaitanya and his devotees, one day, they were going to the sea. Suddenly, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw a sand dune of the name Chattak Parvat. He mistook it for Govardhan Hill. He began running to the sand dune. As he was running, the devotees, headed by Govinda, tried to somehow or other catch up with him. But Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was running. It appeared like the speed of the wind. He was running and running, and the devotees were trying to run after him, but they couldn't catch him. As he was running, seeing the beautiful form of Govardhan Hill, he began to chant prayers from Srimad Bhagavatam. Of all devotees,
Govardhan Hill is the best. Because Govardhan Hill is supplying nice, fresh, clear waters and grass for the cows to eat and drink. And even the cowherd boys, how much pleasure they have receiving all the gifts that Govardhan Hill is supplying. As he was chanting in this way, he was running closer and closer to Chartak Parvat. His pores began to erupt. Each pore, big bumps were coming out of. His hairs began to stand on end. Blood and perspiration was flowing from every pore of his body. Incessant tears were flowing from his eyes. His throat became choked up, and he was making various choking sounds. His body faded to the white color of a conch shell. His body, every limb, quivered like the waves in the ocean. Then, all of a sudden, he became stunned. He stood in one place, and he fell down unconscious. Somehow or other, the devotees reached where Lord Chaitanya was, Govinda, Swarup Damodar Goswami, and the other devotees. Brahmananda Bharati and Paramananda Puri, they were trying to run and catch Lord Chaitanya, but because they were quite old, they were quite a long distance behind. When they saw Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in this condition, they felt great sorrow. And loudly, they all began to chant the kirtan of the holy name. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was not easy to come out of his transcendental trance. The devotees would have to chant very, very, very loudly right into his ear, sometimes for hours and hours of the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he then suddenly came back to his external consciousness and chanted, Hari Om! He looked around in one direction and another, and he asked, where am I? Where have you taken me? I heard Krishna play on his flute. And when I went to see him, there he was, with Sri Radharani and her friends meeting at Govardhan Hill. There they danced and played together. The gopis brought Sri Radharani and Krishna into a secret cave of Govardhan Hill. And the gopis asked me to make flower garlands. So I was picking flowers for the pleasure of Radha and Krishna. And then I heard this tumultuous sound that has brought me here. Where am I? Why have you taken me away? Swarup Damodar Goswami would explain to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that you were walking down the beach with us along the sea, and then you saw the Chatak Parvat, and you thought it was Govardhan Hill, and you came running. Then you became stunned and fell unconscious. So we chanted the holy names to bring you back. Just at that time, Paramananda Puri and Brahmananda Bharati caught up with the rest of the devotees. And because they were seniors to Lord Chaitanya by etiquette, they were both disciples of Sri Madhavendra Puri. Lord Chaitanya came back into external consciousness upon seeing them and offered them respectful obeisances.
Lord Chaitanya asked Paramananda Puri and Brahmananda Bharati, "Why have you come here?" They replied, "We have come here to see you dance." Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu exhibited three states of consciousness, Srila Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami explains. One was internal ecstatic emotions, where when he would be in these transcendental divine trance, he would be completely oblivious to anything of the external world. He would be totally absorbed in Krishna's Leela of Vrindavan. And when the devotees would sing very, very loud kirtan of the holy name, somehow or other he would come out of that ecstatic emotion and come into half-external consciousness. In this state, he would begin to explain what he was seeing when he was in his internal consciousness. And the third state was his external consciousness, when he was aware of the devotees all around him. It is explained that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was actually always in transcendental, internal, ecstatic consciousness, but he would reveal it in different ways. Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami says, just like a potter takes care of his potter's wheel. A potter's wheel, he spins it. Sometimes he's very conscious and purposely spinning it. And at other times, it's just spinning on its own and he's not making any effort at all. Similarly, sometimes Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would be aware of his body and the things going on in the world. And at other times, he was just completely unaware. It was just happening. Nobody knew how it was happening. Even he was not aware how it was happening. So every year, the devotees would come from Bengal. This particular year, one very special transcendental gentleman came along with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, along with the party that was being led by Srila Sivananda Sen, came one devotee of the named Kalidas. Kalidas was the uncle of Srila Raghunath Das Goswami. He was such a great devotee that he never ever spoke anything except the wonderful teachings, pastimes, and names of Lord Krishna. Kalidas was such a humble devotee that he desired to become the servant of the servant of every single Vaishnava. He did not consider whether they were advanced devotees or even neophyte devotees. He did not consider whether they were Brahmins, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, Shudras, or not even within the caste system. He did not consider whether they were rich or poor, learned or illiterate. Anyone who was a devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he wanted to worship that person. And his way of worshiping them was very transcendentally wonderful. He worshiped them by giving them gifts, by somehow or other trying to get the dust from their lotus feet, and by tasting the remnants of the food that they would eat. Kalidas traveled here and there and everywhere, and he had various methods of getting the remnants according to the particular time, place, circumstance, and person. To the Brahmins, he would give them very first-class edibles. And then he would beg them for remnants. He would plead with them, "Please, please give me your remnants." And if he got the remnants, he would eat them in great ecstatic love. But sometimes, if they didn't give the remnants, he would hide for as long as it would take until they would throw out. Because he would always give the type of prasad where there was some seed or something that you'd have to throw out. He didn't give laddus and samosas. He would give those, but not alone. He would give everything on banana plates, and he knew they had to throw out the banana plate. He would hide, and then he would get it, and he would lick it and suck it in ecstatic love. Sometimes he would even go to the houses of Shudras, and he would give them very, very valuable, expensive prasad, because he was a wealthy gentleman. In fact, Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami says, so he was so transcendental that sometimes he would play dice. But as he was playing with dice, he would always be chanting Krishna's holy name.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Hare Hare.
Srila Prabhupada says, we should not play dice. You cannot imitate these great personalities. If you can get the remnants of every Vaishnav, then you can play dice. He was transcendentally situated. So he would sometimes go to the house of Shudras, and he would give them very valuable, opulent prasad. And knowing that they would not give remnants, he would beg, but when they would refuse, he would hide. And on every single occasion, never did anyone escape from having knowingly or unknowingly giving him the remnants of their maha, maha prasad. Shri Kalidas ki. One day, he went to the house of one person who by material birth was from a lower caste. His name was Jadu Thakur. Very, very great devotee of the Lord. And when Kalidas saw that saintly person sitting with his wife, he personally offered his prostrated obeisances both to Jadu Thakur and then to his wife. As soon as Jadu Thakur saw Kalidas, he likewise offered his obeisances to him. Then they began to discuss for some time. Jadu Thakur spoke that I belong to a low caste and you are a respectable guest. How shall I serve you? If you will permit me, I shall send some food to a Brahmin's house, and there you may take prasadam. If you do so, I shall then live very comfortably. Kalidas replied, my dear sir, please bestow your mercy upon me. I have come to see you, although I am very fallen and sinful. Simply by seeing you, I have become purified. I am very much obligated to you, for my life is now successful. My dear sir, I have one desire. Please be merciful to me by kindly placing your feet upon my head so that the dust on your feet may touch it. Jadu Thakur replied, it does not befit you to ask this of me. I belong to a very low caste family, whereas you are a respectable and rich gentleman. Kalidas then recited some verses which Jadu Thakur was very happy to hear. Even though one is a very learned scholar in Sanskrit literature, if he is not engaged in pure devotional service, he is not accepted as my devotee. But if someone born in a family of dog eaters is a pure devotee with no motives for enjoyment through fruitive activity or mental speculation, he is very dear to me. All respect should be given to him, and whatever he offers should be accepted, for such devotees are indeed as worshipable as I am. Aho bata swapachato gariyam, yaj jiva gre varatate nama tubhyam, te pastapas che juhuvushashnu arya, brahmanu chur namas granitivi. My dear Lord, anyone who keeps your holy name on his tongue is greater than an initiated Brahmin, although he may be born in a family of dog eaters, and therefore by material calculations be the lowest of men, he is glorious nevertheless. That is the wonderful power of chanting the holy name of the Lord. One who chants the holy name is understood to have performed all kinds of austerities. He has studied all the Vedas. He has performed all great sacrifices mentioned in the Vedas. And he has already taken his bath in all the places of pilgrimage. It is he who is factually an Aryan. Hearing these quotations from the revealed scripture, Jadu Thakur was very much pleased. He replied, "Yes, it is true, for it is the version of the Shastra. It is true, however, for one who is genuinely advanced in devotion to Krishna. Such position may befit others, but I do not possess such spiritual power. I belong to a lower caste and have not even a pinch of devotion to Krishna." They went on speaking in this way, and Kalidas gave to Charu Thakur some very first-class ripe mangoes in a nice banana bark leaf plate. Then he asked permission from Jadu Thakur so that he could go. Jadu Thakur gave permission. As Kalidas was walking, Jadu Thakur, out of hospitality, walked him for some distance until they reached the road. Then they embraced in great, great happiness, and Kalidas left. Jadu Thakur went back to his home. But as he went back to the home, Kalidas inspected the ground in which he stood. And he happened to see Jadu Thakur's lotus footprints in the dust of the ground. Kalidas waited till Jadu Thakur was some distance away and would not embarrass him by seeing. And then he went down to the ground and he smeared the dust of Jadu Thakur's lotus footprints on every limb of his body as he was weeping in ecstasy, chanting Krishna's holy name. Did not go away. He went back to Jadu Thakur's house and he hid in a secluded place and waited. He waited for the nectar. Meanwhile, in Jadu Thakur's house, his very saintly wife cut the mangoes nicely and prepared them on the plate and gave them to her husband.
Jadu Thakur ate in great honor and devotion this prasad. And what was left, his wife ate. So between Jadu Thakur and his wife, they ate all the mangoes. Then Jadu Thakur, his wife, she took the mangoes and wrapped them up in the banana leaf, and she brought them outside into the ditch where they would put the garbage. Then she went back into the house. Kalidas waited for some time, until no one was around. Then very quietly, he approached the garbage ditch. In great transcendental eagerness, he searched and found the banana leaves. With great, great anticipation, he opened those banana leaves, and what did he find? The seeds and the skins of the mangoes. He began to lick and lick and lick the seeds and suck the skins. Then he began to lick the banana leaves. And as he was doing this, tears of ecstatic love were profusely flowing from his eyes. His hairs were standing on end. His limbs were trembling, and in his heart he was loudly rejoicing by chanting Krishna's holy name.
Krishna, 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 Krishna.
In this way, Kalidas achieved his goal in life. He received the remnants of every single devotee in the entire province of Bengal. Nitai Gopayanandu! One who honors and worships devotees becomes most dear to Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. On this particular year, when Kalidas came with the devotees to Jagannath Puri, he received a special mercy that no one else was allowed. Every day when Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would come to see the darshan of Lord Jagannath, he would enter through the Singhadwaram, the lion gate of the temple. There were 22 steps on the northern side of the Singhadwaram. Just below those 22 steps, there was a ditch, and Govinda would take water and wash Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's beautiful golden lotus feet, and the water would go into the ditch. Lord Chaitanya forbid anyone to even touch the water that washed his feet. He would wash his feet in order to honor Lord Jagannath. But in the mood of a devotee, he taught that we should never allow people to drink the water that washes our feet. So the devotees, in great fear of Lord Chaitanya's wrath, would never, ever dare to go near that water that touched his feet, except some of his most secret confidential associates would somehow or other secretly get some drops. On this particular day, Govinda was washing Lord Chaitanya's feet at Singhadwaram. Kalidas came right before Lord Chaitanya and put his two palms right under his feet and caught all the water and drank it. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu watched as he did that. As Mahaprabhu's feet were still being washed, Kalidas put his hands under his feet again and filled them to the brim with water, charanamrit,
and he drank it right in front of the lotus eyes of Gaurachandra. Again he put his palms under the feet. Again they were filled to the brim with the Charanamrita of Mahaprabhu's lotus feet, and right in front of Lord Chaitanya he drank it all 3 times. Lord Chaitanya said, "That is enough. No one has ever received this mercy before." Then Lord Chaitanya went up the 22 steps to the southern part of the Singhadwaram, and there was a beautiful deity of Lord Narasimhadev. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu offered his dandavat obeisances to Lord Narasimhadev, and in great ecstasy of love began to chant the following prayers. Namaste Narasimhaya.
Hiranyakasipurvakshaya. Silantam kanikalaye. Silantam kanikalaye. Ito Narasingho Parato Narasingho. Ito Narasingho Parato Narasingho. Yato Yato Yamitato Narasingho. Yato Yato Yamitato Narasingho. Bahir Narasingho Hidaye Narasingho. Bahir Narasingho Hidaye Narasingho. Nisim Lama Dhin Saranam Vrapadai. Nisim Lama Dhin Saranam Vrapadai. Namaste Narasimhaya. Namaste Narasimhaya. Namaste Narasimhaya. Namaste Narasimhaya. Shri Narasimhadev Bhagavan ki.
Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then went for the darshan of Jagannath Balaram Subhadra. He then came out and took his bath in the sea, returned to Gambhira to honor Prasad. As Govinda was serving Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Lord Jagannath's Prasad, Lord Chaitanya happened to see Kalidas. Secretly looking through the window.
hoping against hope that he would receive the Lord's remnants. Sri Gaurachandra Mahaprabhu looked up and saw Kalidas, and Kalidas saw him. And from Kalidas's eyes, Lord Chaitanya could understand how much he was longing with transcendental greed to receive the remnants of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. As Lord Chaitanya was eating, Kalidas was watching and waiting. After Lord Chaitanya finished the prasad, he told Govinda, "Give all my remnants to Kalidas." Govinda personally brought Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's remnants to Kalidas, who with great ecstatic love understood he had achieved the ultimate perfection of his life. Kaviraj Goswami explained so nicely, because he had such love and respect for the devotees and was so eager to worship and receive mercy from Vaishnavas, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu showered his most intimate, confidential mercy upon Kalidas. Therefore, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami explains the lesson that we should all learn from this story. We should never feel hatred toward a Vaishnava. We should learn to love Vaishnavas, respect Vaishnavas. We should worship them. And we should be very eager to achieve the maha-maha-prasad of a devotee. And then it is explained what type of prasad this actually is. Where bhoga is eaten by the deities, it becomes prasad. When it is right from the very plate of the deity, it is called maha-prasad. And when a devotee eats that maha-prasad, what is left on his plate is called maha-maha-prasad ki jai. This is very, very powerful substance. In fact, Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami says, in all the universe, there are three most powerful substances. And one should somehow or other attain those substances by any means. Those substances are the dust from the feet of a Vaishnava, the water that has washed the feet of a Vaishnava, and the food remnants of prasad left behind by a Vaishnava. Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, the supreme authority of the Siddhanta of all scriptures, has declared that these three substances are Mahabala. They are very greatly powerful, and one must obtain them somehow or other. Vancha kalpatarubhya cha kriva sindubhya eva cha patithanam bhavanubhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. However, you have to attain them like Kalidas. He never offended anyone. It is not that you just start grabbing, because then you hurt devotees' hearts. I have personally seen devotees trying to get dust from each other's feet, and one devotee grabbed another devotee's foot and put his foot on his head and simultaneously broke the devotee's leg.
The poor devotee was on crutches for the next 8 weeks. Couldn't even do his service. But the other devotee was thinking, I got the dust. This is a true story. I have seen with my own eyes. So we should understand that the idea of honoring and worshiping devotees in this way is to please them. If we displease the devotees, we will not please Krishna. So therefore, we must receive these three powerful substances, either by humbly begging and getting it by their mercy, or by secretly making some special strategic plan so that they do not know. And then they are not ashamed and we are purified. This is the process that Kalidas has given us by his own example.